everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Cryptic Commander. We are your hosts. I'm John Nose.
This is Onique.
And we got a lot to cover. So starting us off this week with Card of the Week. Onique, what we got here? I'm looking at the red card here.
Yeah, a card that's already...
So it's from what? Commander Legends Baldur's Gate, right?
Yeah, this card came from Commander... Battle for Baldur's Gate. It is a commander card, but not for long. Lelia, the Blade Reforged. Tuna red for 2/2 legendary creature spirit warrior. Haste. Whenever she attacks, exile the top card of your library. You may play that card this turn. So it's like an impulse effect. Whenever one or more cards are put into exile from your library and or your graveyard, put a +1/+1 counter on Lelia.
That's just even when she attacks.
Yeah, so she's 3 mana. She's a 3 mana creature with haste that she's gonna attack as a 3/3.
Right.
And you can play. I mean, assuming you spent the mana, but you could play that card that you just exile this, depending on what it is.
Right.
But next turn she's gonna attack again, and she's gonna be a 4/4, and then now you have some mana to actually cast that spell. This card is actually going to be reprinted in Modern Horizons 3.
Nice.
So this is going to be Modern legal. And immediately, some people already started pointing out how this interacts with Cascade. But we can get into that a little bit later on once we actually start talking about set by set. But this being on Arena, I played with it a couple times on Arena and also have it in my cube. This is probably like... top five, in my opinion, like top five red cards on Arena, just straight up. Have you played with or against it?
No.
Did you know this card existed?
No. I'll be honest with you.
I mean, as a blue mage, I suppose I can forgive you, but
Thank you.
This is a very powerful card.
Yeah, well, it looks like it. I mean,
don't forget, this is like, you still have to pay the mana cost of whatever you happen to exile, but this is. If you're playing like any impulse effect, oh my god, what are these things called? You know, the one in red, exile top two cards being played this turn.
Sure. Well, you said impulse earlier, so let's go with impulse. You know.
Yeah, is that the name of the card?
I don't know. I think impulse is a blue card actually, but I'll tell you, man. You know, it says whenever you attack, exile the top card of your library. You may play that card this turn. It's a May ability. And when you said we're going to go over the Cascade ability later.
Reckless Impulse. That's the name of it. Reckless Impulse.
There you go. I thought it was Reckless Charge. But yeah, that's why you're thinking Impulse. So enlighten me on this whole Cascade thing. Because they're not casting the card. They're playing the card. Doesn't Cascade work on the trigger of cast?
Yes.
Okay.
So, Cascade, when you cast this spell, exile cards from the top of your library until you exile a non-land card that costs less than whatever you just cast.
Yeah, okay.
You may cast it without paying its mana cost. Put the exile cards on the bottom of your library in a random order. So, this interacts very, very favorably with Lelia, because Lelia gets a +1/+1 counter for each card that you exile.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Whenever one or more cards are put into exile.
Well, I mean, it's going to be on this creature, so it's going to become a big creature, right?
Right, but do you understand why it works that way? Like, it says, is that Lelia says whenever one or more cards are put into exile.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's going to be one or more.
So...
It's really one.
Go ahead.
It's really one card, right?
No.
Go ahead.
No, it's not. So if I had... a spell that says like exile top five cards of the library, then that's a single instance of exiling. So that's one counter.
Got it.
The way Cascade works is that you're cascading or you're exiling until you find a very specific card.
Oh, that's right. You have to cascade
one by one until you find a certain value that meets the criteria.
Which every time you exile one of those cards, it's considered a count.
Yes, exactly. Ouch. So with this goofy card, Violent Outburst, or with the top, or we'll get into the Top Mover Shaker this week too. That also has Cascade. Hint, hint. You can take a guess. If you find your Crashing Footfalls on the 15th exile card, Then it gets plus 15 or plus 14, plus 14 counters on it.
Yeah.
Because you're exiling 14 cards until you find your Crashing Footfalls, until you find your the Living End, or until whatever is a criteria.
I get it. So this could be like a 99-99, right? Again, it's just one big creature.
Yes. I mean, maybe more reasonably, like, you know, whatever's in your 25, library.
Yeah, 25-25, whatever, right.
Yeah.
Well, you can still cascade over and over and over and over and over.
Yes, you're still going to be cascading. I mean, or just playing regular effects, but I'm just saying cascade with Lelia is disgusting.
No, I get it. I get the appeal. I really do. I get the appeal. And the quickness of it, too. I get the quickness of it. But there's going to be spot removal. There's going to be death touch. There's going to be, you know, this and that.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get the argument of dice removal. That's
sure, standard. Sure. No, I get that, too. I'm just thinking of layman's terms, like, if every card in the deck is like this, then we're going to have a problem, right? But if there's not too many creatures that have this ability, then we're not going to really have a big problem.
No, but it's just good fuel for...
It is.
For red.
For red deck,
I mean, red's...
Jinx.
Three mana spot is pretty good. Like, I was listening to
Would you replace another three spot and put this in there? You know, probably not, you know?
I mean, like... What would you play first? Would you, if you depending on scenario, you don't have to answer, but like this or Fable the Mirror Breaker?
Yeah, Fable. Yeah, of course.
So, I mean, both are like extremely powerful cards.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Anyway, you're watching a content creator.
They're talking about like this, the three spot, because this, the other spot, another card is a Cannoneer. Cannon, I forget what it's called. It's one of the new cards in the Ixalan Commander.
Oh, okay.
Hold on.
The Raptor one?
No, it's a Goblin. Broadside Bombardiers.
Oh, yeah. We've been getting a lot of people coming in asking for that card.
That card is also... It's not on Arena, but this card is nuts. Absolutely crazy.
Wait, it's an Arena-only card?
No. It was printed in Lost Caverns of Ixalan Commander.
Okay.
In the Pirate Commander deck. But this card by itself is just absolutely nuts. It's not an Arena, but the other podcast I was listening to talked about this being in the Vintage Cube, this card. Mm-hmm. And it's like really, really powerful. I'm just saying this is also in the three mana slot. So this with Lelia, with Fable the Mirror Breaker, those are like three mana red cards that are probably top five in the cube, in red, in Vintage Cube.
Well, that's your
that move. Is all.
That is your card of the week this week. Moving on over to Movers and Shakers. There's a couple of cards in Movers and Shakers this week that makes my jaw drop. I'll explain more in a second. So this section, powered by MTGStocks.com, starting us off with some cheap pickups. Shark Typhoon. Does that say $6.80?
Yeah.
Wow. So it's stabilizing right around in that area.
Its peak was around like $17 or so.
Oh, yeah. It used to be up there, but what was it, back in Ikoria or something? And there's been a lot of reprints of it since then.
No, it's never been reprinted.
Different variants of it, right? You got the different frames. You got the etched foil.
Oh, well, I guess I have been reprinted once in...
Yeah.
The Secret Lair.
Yeah, I was going to say Secret Lair did it also. No. How many printings of this card are there?
I mean, it was printed once in Ikoria and printed once in a Secret Lair.
So there's only two printings?
Yes.
I thought there was more.
I'm not counting like Ikoria and then a Borderless and then an alternate art.
That's what I'm talking about. I think there were ones. You know, I think there was even a retro frame, wasn't there?
No. This card specifically, it just has the regular frame and then and a Borderless one.
Same
set.
Got it.
To me, I categorize that as a single printing.
I get it. And the Secret Lair is the same one.
No, Secret Lair has like a whole like the retro TV movie VHS cover.
Reminds you, what was it? Sharknado is what we called it. At any rate,
that was the actual movie.
I didn't think I'd see a Sliver in the cheap pickup section. This one's Sliver Grandmother. It's a
Gravemother.
Gravemother. I almost said grand, didn't I?
You see, I don't know. I don't know what you said. It sounded like our grav.
Yeah. So Sliver Gravemother, $8.66. It's slowly moving down. When I say slowly, I mean this thing. It's creeping. It's creeping down. The last cheap pickup this week. Warg Rider? I had to zoom in on that one, dude. Warg Rider. So it must be from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you recognize the name, Warg?
Not really. $3.15. It is moving up. So if you want to get this guy before it moves up any further, I would. And number three this week, Goryeo's Vengeance, $17.89. It's up 158%. The number two card is what made my jaw drop. I have one of these bad boys, just one. Mesmeric Orb, $24.66. It's up 126%. Now, I pulled this card out of a Brothers War pack, and I was like, I like it. I went home, played with four of them on Arena in Historic, because it's the only way I can play with at that time, I think it was. Because Timeless wasn't a thing yet, you know. And or Alchemy, I could have done on Alchemy, I think. And it was just so much fun. Whenever somebody untaps a land or any other permanent, they mill a card. And I really, really liked it. It seemed like my deck was getting milled about as much as my opponent, but then I would like shuffle my deck back into my graveyard and have a bigger deck again all of a sudden. But yeah, it's not a bad card. I can't believe it's going up like this. Do we know Commander. Why?
Yeah, Commander.
Oh, Commander. Okay, yeah.
Fallout. That makes sense. Yeah. The Wise Mothman.
Got it. That makes sense. And you know, a lot of these are probably gonna have to do with the new products coming out. You got Thunder Junction coming out. More on that in a minute. But number one this week.
Well, looks like, I want to go back to number three, Goryeo's Vengeance. Sure.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
Went, this shot up like crazy because it won a modern tournament right after the bannings of Violent Outburst. Because
of there was a ban announcement. Yeah.
Yeah, because everyone's wondering what the new best deck is. Is this still going to be Cascade? Because we're about to get into number one. But number three, Goryeo's Vengeance, is literally just puts Atraxa in the graveyard. No surprise. And or a Grizzlebrand even, and he just reanimates it out. It's a 2-mana reanimator for a legend only as an instant.
Yeah. I tell you.
And then number one.
I tell you, I know you're not a big component for the Commander format. And I tell you what, man, I'm seeing more and more of people. I mean, I'm seeing people playing Commander with like 20 decks. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but you know, they'll have six decks with them or whatever. And more you see this, Onique. They're busting out the Atraxa. They're busting out the Tamiyo. Or did I say Tamiyo? What's the other one I'm thinking of?
Of what?
The black white one. The black white one.
Planeswalker?
No, it's the number one deck. Tim of the Weaver, right? Tim of the Weaver. So they'll pull out Tim of the Weaver. They'll pull out Atraxa. You know, and then what's the other one? Thassios. They'll pull out Thassios. So it's almost like those, you know, we always did like the top decks in every format.
Oh, we're talking about different Atraxas.
And I get that, but I'm saying that I'm seeing more and more people bring in the top three decks more and more when originally they didn't. They just had mediocre Commander decks.
Okay.
Yeah, and now I'm seeing more of these mediocre-ish players getting more and more powerful decks, getting more and more powerful Commanders, you know? At any rate, I just noticed it in my game stores. But yeah, number one this week. We haven't got there yet, have we? Number one. Drum roll, please. Ardent Plea. $15.16. Oh. $15.06. It's up an astounding 432%.
Yeah. I mean, if you pay attention to Modern, you knew this would happen.
No, I didn't know what's going to happen, dude. I actually started paying attention to more other formats, and I thought Modern was safe with the ban that it had, you know?
Like, I knew, I can't say I know, but I had very high confidence that Violent Outburst was going to get banned, and in its place, people were either going to run Ardent Plea. I mentioned this on the prior episode. They're either going to run Ardent Plea or that other Rakdos 3-mana Cascade spell that that target creature can't block, which is not good.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, naturally, everyone went for Ardent Plea because they have now dropped I think, what did they drop? I think they dropped, did they even drop a color? Yeah, they dropped red. They dropped red from the deck and they just added white so they can actually accommodate to cast this card. And then, and they're like, well, if we're casting white spells, might as well either put some Leyline Bindings or some,
yeah,
not subtlety, Solitude in the deck.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost the same deck.
Yeah. That Leyline Binding is really good, man.
Oh, Leyline Binding is an absurd card.
Absurd. All right, and that's but your it, movers. No, go ahead.
Yeah, and I was going to say, everyone's just trying out the deck right now to see if it's going to be the next best thing.
The next best thing,
yeah. But right now, it feels like losing instant speed Cascade is enough of a nerf to the Cascade decks to where I don't know if
you don't want to play it anymore.
Well, no, people definitely want to play. That's why Art and Police shot up way up.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if this is the best version of this deck. I think they're still trying it out, and I think I think the field is still open, at least for, I'll just say, until end of March.
That's a good opinion. And that's your movers and shakers this week. And what do we got? What we got next on the slate here?
Just talking about some Magic. Some couple sets coming up. Lots of sets.
Yeah, I alluded to Thunder Junction at one of the locations at North Valley Games, because there's multiple locations now. At one location, Wizards sent us a cutout of Oko in the Western outfit. Have you seen that yet?
Oh, yes, I actually have. My LGS has it too.
And one of the workers was like, let's put it behind the counter where just the chest and above is showing. And I'm like, oh, okay, whatever you want, you know, because I'm not really in charge of where we put things, you know. And it's just really funny to come to work every day and look at this life-size Oko with like an 8-pack, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the 8-pack has an 8-pack. It almost looked like an artist from Marvel Universe drew him, you know.
He is quite ripped.
He is ripped.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we want to talk about three sets that are coming up, and we'll go in chronological order of when they're going to be released.
Okay.
So just to kind of give you a heads up, like an agenda. First, we want to talk about Outlaws of Thunder Junction, which is releasing April 19th. Then we're going to jump into Modern Horizons 3, which is releasing June 7th. And then last, we're going to talk about a little bit about Bloomburrow, which is releasing August 2nd. Roughly. I mean, these might change a little bit. I mean, the further out the sets they are, the likely it might change, but I think these are going to be pretty solidified.
You use Scryfall, right?
Say what?
You use Scryfall, right?
Yes, Scryfall is my Bible.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and do Outlaws of Thunder Junction card gallery. Of course, they're making me zoom in. One of the things I noticed right off the bat is the Wanted posters.
Yes, so these are... So Thunder Junction is a plane of its own. It's not like it's some weird little town that's a part of Dominaria or something like that. Thunder Junction is the name of the plane.
Okay.
And Outlaws, the whole premise of the set is like the bad guy set. The story is going up now, like piece by piece. I think at the time of recording, we have like two. I think we maybe just got the third chapter. And in it, we're finding out that bad guys from literally all over are showing up.
Yeah.
There's a bad guy that I thought was dead that showing up. I won't get into it now. We could talk about it once we have the full story out, once we kind of see what's going on with it. But these Wanted posters, they're not posters, they're cards in the style of the Wanted poster, like the old Western stuff. I don't know how many of them are going to be, but we have two of them so far. But they're probably going to be the bad guys that are in Oko's gang. And we have two of them right now, Oko himself and Tiny Bones.
I'm reading this Tiny Bones. He is cute.
What kind of cute? What way do you mean that?
Well, number one, the artwork's just adorable. You know, he costs one black, a 1/1 with Death Touch. Whenever Tiny Bones, the pit pocket, deals combat damage to a player, you may cast target non-land permanent card from that player's graveyard, and mana of any type can be spent to cast that spell. That's cute.
Yeah, I guess you could say cute.
Oh, definitely cute for a little
while. Yeah, I mean, I will probably put him on my cube. I mean, it's a black one drop, which we don't get too many of those that are quality.
With Dead Touch and something else, like trigger effect on the attack, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to trade no matter what. Like, he's either going to get blocked and kill whatever is being blocked by. Of course, indestructible, I get that.
Yeah.
But he's either going to one for one the blocking creature, or he's going to try to take something from the graveyard.
Yep.
I mean, of course, like, you know, turn one, cast him. Turn two, maybe cast Thoughtseize, get something, put something in the graveyard, and then attack.
It'll be real hard. Right. It'll be real hard because you can, I mean, you can do things like make it unblockable or give it evasion, you know, but it's going to be really hard just for the vanilla purpose of a 1/1 getting in there, you know?
Yes.
With the Death Touch, it's almost like, I hope it gets through.
Yeah, but the Death Touch at least guarantees a trade.
I want to cast that Cultivate.
I want to get something juicier. I'm noticing now that, like, so you just read the card. Whenever you lose a common damage to a player, you may cast target non-life permanent card from the player's graveyard. It doesn't say until end of turn. We don't have the notes on this card yet, but I wonder if this is, like, you can cast it on the following turn. You know what I mean?
Well, are you talking about Oko the Ringleader?
No, I'm talking about Tiny Bones still.
Are you? Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know the whole deal on this. I really don't know, you know, because there are three pips on the left-hand side that are blank, just like on the Oko card. And on the right-hand side, it's got, like, the normal casting cost area.
I mean, that's just, like, the style of a wanted poster. That side is blank, I assume. I see those little three empty circles that mm-hmm. look like it could hold a mana cost. But I'm just talking about the function of the card itself. It doesn't necessarily say it's until end of turn.
No, it doesn't say anything like that. No. Whenever this deals combat damage to a player, you can cast a non-land permanent from that player's graveyard.
Target non-land permanent. So you have to choose something. Let's just pretend Cultivate.
Yeah, Cultivate.
Let's say I don't have enough mana.
Then you can't cast it.
Can I cast it next turn?
No.
It doesn't say until end of turn, though. Tiny Bones doesn't say until end of turn.
Oh, you're right.
You see what I mean?
I do see what you mean. So, well, you know, that probably is a, you know, judge.
Yeah. We don't have the release notes, of course, so we don't really know if this is until end of turn or not. It also doesn't say, like, you know, put a pickpocket counter on target card and then you may cast pickpocketed card. You know what I mean? It doesn't say anything like that. But it might just be a triggered ability. No, because it's in combat. So if it's a sorcery, you can't cast sorceries in combat. I don't know. We'll let this one marinate, and then once we get, you know, spoilers should happen very soon, probably like in next week or two. So, like, I would say end of March, we'll get spoilers.
That Oko, the Ringleader, that looks really promising, bud. You know, do you think they're going to ban this one? He looks really powerful.
He still looks good. I mean, I'm not going to speculate if anything's be banned on day one. That's, to me, that's just kind of nonsense.
Sure.
He still makes elks. Sorry.
Yeah. I saw that. Yeah.
Let me rephrase that. He makes elks. He does not turn things into elks.
That's a big difference.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
a big difference. But there's still elks involved. Mm-hmm. So it's a 4 mana, same color. So 2 green, blue. Legendary Planeswalker Oko, at the beginning of combat on your turn, this is a static ability, Oko becomes a copy of up to one target creature you control until end of turn, except it has hexproof. So it's a bit of a shapeshifter ability there.
It would keep his Planeswalker's ability, correct? Or no? When it becomes a copy of up to one, you can say 0 and keep him a Planeswalker?
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes, because he'll become a copy of that creature, which means he's a creature, not a planeswalker.
Until the end of the turn. His plus one ability, because he comes in with 3 loyalty, his plus ones draw 2 cards. If you've committed a crime this turn, discard a card. Otherwise, discard 2 cards. So that gives us a window of what this whole crime thing's about.
We'll get to crime in just a moment.
Okay. The ultimate, though, -5, and for each other non-land permanent you control, create a token that's a copy of that permanent. That's pretty sick.
He also has a -1, which you didn't say, but you can guess it based on what we missed out. Left out is create a 3/3 green elk.
Yeah, that's correct. I like those two cards. There's not many spoilers on this, but
no, not yet. But let's talk about Crime.
Yeah,
we do know what Crime is.
Mm-hmm.
Crime is it's something we've been doing since day one,
like back in '93.
Yes. Anything that you do that targets your opponent's permanents, anything they control, or anything in their graveyard, if you target anything, that is committing a crime. So if you destroy target creature, you're assuming you're targeting my creature, John, you're committing a crime. If I cast a spell, like gain whatever life or something, and John, you cast counterspell on my permanent, on my spell, you're committing a crime. So I would imagine commander players are going to have a field day with this, saying, "Oh, you're committing crimes." Like it's basically interaction. Like Wrath Effects, you know, Farewell, Wrath of God, whatever. Those are not crimes because it doesn't target anyone. But if I target you to sacrifice a creature, that's committing a crime.
That is interesting. I mean, I haven't been doing any of that, so it makes me want to build a deck around that now, you know.
Well, I'm sure you have. Target player mills a couple cards.
I'm not using that in standard. Not for the last couple of months. I've been doing Cryptic Coat, where I'm targeting my own Cryptic Coat over and over.
Well, yeah, but I'm sure you have a counter spell, a bounce spell. Every deck has interaction.
You're right. I see where you're going with that. Yeah. No, you're right. I've been committing crimes.
Yeah.
I've been committing crimes.
Everyone's committing crimes. And in this set, you want to commit crimes.
That's kind of a weird twist on things, isn't it?
Yeah.
it's a good thing to commit crimes here.
It's kind of like, do you remember in the original Dominaria Historic? Not the format, but what Historic was or what it meant.
No.
It just meant that like anything historic is an artifact.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Saga,
yeah.
Or a legendary creature.
Yeah.
It's just things that already existed. They just kind of gave it a name.
Yeah.
So historic is like, okay, well, that's just a subset of you know, categories or cards or whatever.
Yeah.
Same thing in Kamigawa. They said modified. Mm-hmm. And modified meant anything that has an aura, an equipment, or a counter of some sort, I think it was. Maybe just plus some counter.
Yeah. Wild.
So it's stuff that already existed. So this is the same thing. You know, it's not really a new mechanic, quote unquote. It's just giving it a title.
Giving it an added bonus if you can complete the requirement.
Yeah. But I know people are going to have a field day with, oh, I'm going to commit a crime. Hoo, hoo, hoo.
Yeah.
Like, that's just.
Yeah. See, can you see the memes already?
Oh, yeah. And I want to talk about one card that is all about committing a crime. Hell to Pay. Sorcery, red and an X, rare. Hell to Pay deals X damage to target creature. Create a number of tapped treasure tokens equal to the amount of excess damage dealt to the creature that way. So this is like a fun way to commit a crime. You want to smash that X target as much as you can so you can get some treasure tokens out of it. So nice. Even if you're doing like, you know, want to target a 2-2, you want X to be 17 so you can get 15 treasure tokens out of it or whatever. It basically converts your extra X into tap treasure tokens. But that's another spoiler, of course. Hell to Pay.
Yeah, there's only a few more cards on here, man. Fibble Fip, Lost on the Range. This guy's got Ward 2. He kind of reminds me of the Reality Chip. This is a 1-1 creature, though, with Ward 2. Automatically Ward 2, which is nice. You can look at the top card anytime. Now, the top card of your library has Plot. What's Plot? Basically, it's the way of saying you can cast it from the top of your library. The plot cost is equal to the mana cost. You may plot non-land cards from the top of your library.
Plot, there was an unofficial leak that had some plot cards that gave the reminder text. But it was very, very blurry. I forget what plot was, but I think it is a subtype of an instant or sorcery. So it's like instant hyphen plot, kind of like adventure or arcane or things like that.
So they'd be going to the exile zone.
No, it's just, you know how like lands in Ixalan had cave subtype?
Yeah.
It's just like that. Like, by itself, it didn't mean anything.
Oh.
Just other things cared about if the land was a cave.
Got
or
it.
If the instant was an adventure,
or if it or was something a plot. Like that.
No, yeah, so I think that's what plot is. I think it's a subtype of an instant or sorcery. I might be wrong. I'm going off of memory, and I'm not going to go off of weird leaked spoilers that we shouldn't have seen yet, but I believe that's what it was.
And the last one, another blue card, Duelist of the Mind. It's a star 3. This is going to be interesting. Flying Vigilance. This guy's power is equal to the number of cards you've drawn this turn. Huh. Could be zero on your opponent's turn. Whenever you commit a crime, you may draw a card. If you do, discard a card. This ability triggers only once each turn.
Oh, Nathan.
Nathan, the world champion.
World champion. Yes. World champion 28, committing crimes on Thunder Junction.
Wow.
This is his card that he designed with R&D. So, it, as you can see, it has this likeness on the card. Again, it's a just like the previous world champion card with Fairy Mastermind from Yuta Takahashi. This is another 2-drop blue flyer. I mean, flying's really good because the prior card also was Elite Spellbinder, which is another 3-drop flyer.
Oh, good card.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this card's probably going to be pretty good, too.
It was card of the week at one point.
Yeah.
I'd like to go to get the circuit on this year, maybe next year. I don't know. I want to get on it real soon, man. I'd like to get my likeness on a card, you know, and have it a cryptic card, too. That'd be cool.
Well, of course. Cryptic code that wasn't yours?
No, that wasn't mine. But if it's a nod to me, man, that's what's up, Watsy. I love you, too. I told people at work, you know, it's the cryptic cycle. They're like, what? I'm like, I don't know what I'm talking about.
You can just play it off.
So Modern Horizons 3 is coming up.
Well, before that,
yeah,
I do want to point out that Outlaws of Thunder Junction is going to have, like, it's going to be confusing when you open a pack and it's going to be, like, four different expansion symbols on there. So you remember the Aftermath, the weird little baby set right after March of the Machine.
Yeah.
That little series of cards was basically like, this is what happened after the Phyrexians lost. And it had a couple of cards specifically, like it had some Planeswalkers who lost their spark, and it had some of this and some of that. They were initially going to do another Aftermath set of Outlaws of Thunder Junction, but because people hated the Aftermath set product on its own, they decided to put it within the main Thunder Junction set. So it's basically like a bonus sheet. So in each, I would imagine, play booster, there's going to be a slot dedicated to the Aftermath portion of it. So you're going to have a different expansion symbol, which will not be as legal and standard. I forget what it's called. I think it was called The Big Score. No, I'm sorry. Not The Big Score. What is this called? Breaking News. Hold on. Let me... Do I have this right? I think... Okay. It is a big score. The big score is the set that was going to be the Aftermath, but it's going to be within these packs now. So you're going to have some stuff the expansion symbol looks like a vault. So Outlaws of Thunder Junction, the expansion symbol is basically a cowboy hat. The expansion symbol for the big score, which was going to be the Aftermath set, like a separate set, is now within the main set, and that has an expansion symbol of a vault, like a vault door, rather. One of which cards, you thought we were done with the cycle. We're not. Sword of Wealth and Power.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
Artifact equipment, 3 mana cost, 2 to equip. Equipped creature gets +2/+2, and has protection from instants and sorceries.
Oh,
whenever a creature deals combat damage to a player, create a treasure token. Sword of Wealth and Power. It is an artifact equipment that costs 3 to cast and 2 to equip, just like the other cards in the cycle. I guess the prior 10. Equipped creature gets +2/+2 and has protection from instants and sorceries. in that sense, you can almost say the stuff that actually matters for spot removal. Whenever equipped creature deals combat damage to a player, just like all the other ones before, create a treasure token. When you cast an instant or sorcery spell this turn, copy that spell. You may choose new targets for the copy. So once it connects, it gives you a little treasure token that you can use to cast the next spell, and then that spell could be doubled up. So my understanding, since this was supposed to be the aftermath, like another set after Plunder Junction, is that the Outlaws, and Oko and his gang, those are the Outlaws, they succeeded in stealing whatever they're going to steal, and this is some of the stuff that they stole, or this is the stuff that they could have stolen but just didn't. There's another card as well. Next is the Becoming. I'll just go over this real quick. That the previous one was a mythic. This is a mythic as well. This is an artifact. I don't know if all of them are going to be artifacts. I think they are, or at least most of them. At the beginning of combat on your turn, draw a card. Then you may exile an artifact or creature card from your hand. If you do, create a token as a copy of the exile card, except as a 3/3 golem artifact creature in addition to other types. Why is it a 3/3? Why is it a green? Why is it golem? I don't know. Wait, it's not green. Why did I say green? Except as a 3/3 golem artifact creature in addition to other types. So it's just an artifact. This card costs 6 itself. It looks powerful, but I mean, you're drawing an extra card. So either double up on the cards or just have a card in your hand. Make it a 3/3 and just put on the battlefield. I mean, that's basically free casting. There is one more expansion symbol that I want to get into, which is what I kind of stumbled on before, which is the this is also like another bonus sheet of sorts. This is called Breaking News. That's the name of this slot or subset of cards, Breaking News. And right now, these are reprints. There are two of them so far. I think this is more specifically flavored for the set, one of which is Thoughtseize. Again, these are not going to be standard legal. They're just reprints with fun frames. One's a Thoughtseize, another one, very fitting name, Crime and Punishment. And that's really it. Oh, this one is also going to have special guests. So once again, just like the prior two sets, we're going to have a special guest expansion symbol. We don't know any of the special guests yet, but it wouldn't surprise me if we see like some other... They're all special guests are going to be reprints, so I mean, who knows what we're going to see. This set is going to have a whole bunch of like bad guys from different sets, so it might have some other ones that might have been mentioned in a story or something. Like, this set looks crazy. So again, we're going to get spoilers soon. Give it time. Once we get some more information, maybe even the complete set, we'll just splurge on it and go from there.
So I'm looking over a few cards over here, Odeek. I don't want to go too deep on this, but we can just, you know, talk over it, right? There's a lot of cards. Modern Horizons 3. One of them's already starting to upset me, that Emrakul. But before yeah. I get ahead of myself here, there's look like a flip card. So it's an Ajani, which is mythic rare, and it's really ignorant. I mean, really ignorant. A 1/2 body, one white, one other, legendary creature, cat warrior. When he enters the battlefield, create a 2/1 white warrior token. Whenever one or more other cats you control die, you can exile this guy. You may, and then return to the battlefield transformed. If you do that, he's a planeswalker now. Comes in with 3 loyalty, which ain't bad for a 2-drop. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's got +2, put a 1/1 counter on each cat you control. This is sick, Onik. This is making me want to play just mono white. And then you got 0, create a 2/1 creature token. When you do, if you control a red permanent other than this guy, because this permanent's considered red-white. It says so right there, red-white.
On the
right?
Backside of it is, yeah.
Yeah, just on the backside. The front side's white. But you may deal damage equal to the number of creatures you control to any target. And that's just, it's 0 ability. When Jace the Mind Sculptor was made, he was broken immediately. This one, I'm looking at you, Onik, what do you think, man? I haven't even got to his ultimate yet.
Well, Jace was like Jace was ignored for a while until people
start abusing it. Yeah, start.
Yeah, and you're like, oh my god, this card's busted.
Right.
Like, well,
you're right.
And busted.
He was swept under the rug like he doesn't belong anywhere, right?
Yeah.
And then exactly. We're like Everflowing Chalice and, oh, why not blue-white control, you know? But this ultimate, -4, each opponent chooses an artifact, a creature, an enchantment, and a planeswalker from among the non-land permanents they control, then sacrifices the rest. I mean, you knew what was going to happen when I read the first part of the sentence, you know?
Yeah, basically.
That guy's ignorant, dude.
What do you mean ignorant?
That's beautiful. I love ignorant cards. And this is just ignorant, dude. It's a 2-drop that you can trigger right away, kill one of your own creatures.
Time out. Why do you keep saying ignorant? You know, I don't know if that's the word that you want to use.
Well, it's real rude, right? It's a real rude card. It comes out quick and it's almost too powerful. It seems broken just by me looking at the card. And I haven't even touched it yet or added another card with it or anything.
Okay. It's just an odd choice of word for me.
Well,
that's all.
I would actually like to keep this part in the podcast because I say
okay. All
the time when I'm in the stores, I love ignorant cards. And sometimes I get the reaction of just pure laughter or, you know, somebody can't control their laughter kind of approach. And sometimes they're like, wait, what do you mean? You know, what are you talking about? That's like rude for you to say. It's like, no, I love ignorant cards. You know, you look at the old original Lightning Bolt, 1 red, instant speed, 3 damage anywhere you want. That's rude. That's ignorant. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, that was just a part of the cycle, though. They didn't know what they were doing. Just like, oh, 3 of everything. Yeah. Draw 3 cards, gain 3 life, get well, 3 mana.
When they printed this at Johnny, did they know what they were doing? Of course, it's going into Modern Horizons, so it's going to be modern legal, not standard legal.
Thank goodness. Is going to be illegal in Arena.
That's funny.
It's all going to come into Arena.
But is it going to be standard legal on Arena?
No.
Right.
No.
Now, that's not the only card in this set that they spoiled already.
No, but I do want to touch real quick. So, Ajani is a white creature that when another cat dies, which is supposed to be Jazal. Jazal in the story is his brother.
Okay.
And he, when Jazal died, which is how Spark ignited. That's the other cat token. Anyway, Ajani's white, flips into white-red. They have preview the art for Tamio, stating that Tamio is also a flip card. I'm guessing she's blue, flips into blue-green. So, red-white, Ajani, blue-green, Tamio.
Yeah.
My guess is that they've already confirmed there's going to be 5 in a cycle, and we have 2 enemy colors confirmed. I'm guessing the other 3 are going to be enemy color planeswalkers as well. Like, monocolor front, dual-color back. So, speculate with what you want. Maybe it'll be like Vraska, mono black on front and green black on the back. What would red be? Red could be Rawl for Is It. And then green, blue? No, I have green, blue. Green, black? What's left? Anyway, you get what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that's what they're going to do. That's just my guess. Oh, no, maybe black. Maybe it might be Kaya for black-white. I need to write this down, and I need to, like, come back and, like, cut, like, several months on the road, be like, haha, I called it.
They got the beautiful, beautiful, what do you want to say, frameless painlands? Is that what they're going for? Borderless painlands, finally?
These are, I think, just full art.
Full art, okay. Well, I mean, they got the text box there, right? So full art, that's what they call full art?
I don't know, man. There's so many different art variants and card frames and whatever.
It's definitely borderless.
The art goes all around the card, behind a text box and all that.
Yeah, behind the text box. Just a little hard to see it. And so that's really cool. That's cool that they're doing that.
These are the fetch lands, not the pain lands. These are fetch lands.
Okay, my bad. Pain lands were like... Well, I thought the pain lands were pay life.
Oh, pain lands were like add A or B like and take one
steam
damage.
Vents. Like steam vents would be pain land.
No, steam vents is a shock land.
What's a pain land?
Pain land is like Galvamana Coast.
Ah, okay, got it.
You add to tap to add colorless or tap
got
pay
it.
One life or tap take one damage, add A or B.
Weren't they last seen like 6th edition or something like that?
No, they got their reprint, their standard legal, all 10 of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute. Well, they got the polluted deltas, the windswept heath, the wooded foothills, and
Leslie Meyer and Fletus Rand. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. We've already covered Lilia.
And, so the, yeah. So these 10, they're going to be, again, they're going to be on Arena. However, they are already on Arena thanks to Hansa Tarkir. So.
Oh, so this would be the other five.
No, these are the same five as far as Arena is concerned.
Hmm.
These are a different five compared to Modern Horizons 2.
Got it. Okay.
My guess is that with this release, we also might get some sort of supplemental side release that will, for Arena, that will give us the other fetch lands that we don't already have. That's my guess.
Yeah. They've got one I can't read. The Flare at, what is that?
I don't know what you're looking at. But
Flare at Cultivation.
Oh, yeah.
You may sacrifice a non-token green creature rather than pay the spell's mana cost.
Time out. Why are we still getting free spells in Modern? Come on. Time out.
Oh, man. Search your library for up to two basic land cards. Reveal those cards. Put them onto the battlefield tapped. One of them and the other one in your hand. Then shuffle.
So
it is sorcery.
Yes, it is sorcery. It is a cultivate, flare cultivation.
Yeah.
But it's free. You may sacrifice a non-token green creature rather than pay its mana cost.
Yep.
So in theory, you could do turn one Arbor Dryad and then cast this for free, and then you just ramp it. Well, I mean, that does, because you're losing a land at the same time, so that's
kind of redundant. Or theoretically, you can go search your library for a land or two and then do it again by sacrificing a green card out of your hand. You can ramp more than
sacrificing a green creature. You're not discarding.
I got you. You're not discarding like the Force of Negation. Gotcha. Okay.
Right. They're not forces. They're flares. Still, whatever. Free spells. This is the ramp. How good is it? We don't know yet. It's still free.
It's new. Yeah, it's new, right? Another one here. This looks really weird. It's rare. Okay. Psychic Frog. It's Dimir. Right.
You better get the reference for this card. Otherwise, I'll be very disappointed in you.
Okay. Creature Frog. When Psychic Frog deals combat damage to a player or Planeswalker, draw a card. Discard a card. Put a +1/+1 counter on Psychic Frog. Exile three cards from your graveyard. Psychic Frog gains flying till the end of the turn. Psychic Frog. No, I'm not getting the reference, man. I mean, I'm thinking of like...
You almost said it. On accident. Which is hilarious.
What, Frogmite?
No. Psych. What?
Yeah.
Look at his power toughness.
1/2. I'm not seeing it.
Psychotog.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, whoa.
It's Psychotog. It's not exactly Psychotog, you know.
Oh, okay. So I'm like, wait, this is a frog. It's not an Atog. Unless they're changing the Atogs to frogs.
No, I mean, I think they just kind of done away with the togs in general.
Okay.
But Psychotog and Psychic Frog, I mean, it's kind of rhymes.
I see it, yeah. Psych, okay, I get it.
Frog.
I get it. Now, but you had to actually paint a picture for me.
Yes, but I just had the two side by side. So Psychotog was discard a card, gets +1 until on a turn, and exile some cards, gets +1 until on a turn. Psychic Frog is not exactly that, but it does say discard a card, then put a +1 counter on it, and it exiles some stuff against flying. So the similarities are definitely there, it being both Dimir, a 1/2 body. So it's a nice little callback.
Definitely weird artwork. And there's multiple versions of these cards, too. So they're bringing Priest of Titania to Modern.
Yep.
Okay, let's go to this one, though, man, because this one's really upsetting me. Emrakul, the World Anew. I think every time they make an Emrakul, I'm upset. I don't know.
Yeah, this is a new Emrakul.
And
so I'm losing track of the namings.
That's okay. So it's 12 to cast it. Or is it? When you cast this spell, gain control of all creatures target player controls. Thank goodness it doesn't say players or all players control, right? Flying protection from spells and from permanents that were cast this turn. When Emrakul the Aeon Anew leaves the battlefield, sacrifice all creatures you control. That actually makes me happy to see there's some kind of negative on these things.
Is that really negative if you're gaining control of your opponent's creatures?
when this leaves the battlefield, sacrifice all creatures you control. I guess if you want to look at it, like, there's another card game called Yu-Gi-Oh! You would do the old school thing where it was like, I'm going to steal your creature, and then I'm going to sacrifice it to summon my big creature. And it's like, oh man, that's ignorant. I love it, right? So the same thing here, take control of their creatures just to sacrifice them all. That's kind of cool. But it's got a madness cost, Onik. Pay 6 colorless. It's got a madness cost. So if you come across, you know, somebody's playing, you discard your whole hand kind of a thing.
It's 6 colorless, mm-hmm. not 6 generic. So 6 diamond mana symbols.
It has to be waste. It has to be waste.
Basically, yeah.
That's so goofy, dude. Why do they want to change it? I mean, all these years they had. So is waste different than colorless? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's the same. Waste, the land produces colorless mana. Colorless mana is the little diamond symbol.
Okay. Wow.
It could go to the generic mana, which is like a 12 mana cost.
Yeah. I mean, I see what you're saying, because there's another card in the same set here. It that heralds the end. It costs 1 waste and a colorless, which is different for my eyes to see.
Yes.
You know, unless they did this before and I'm just not remembering.
They have.
They have done it before. Okay.
Yeah. Either some activation costs as well.
There's a few other cards here, man. I just don't feel like they're really worthy of going over at this time.
And we basically said it all.
And there's another set we need to talk about, too, before we wrap it up.
Yeah, I feel like there's one more thing I was going to say about but no, I don't think so.
So what's the last one? Was it Assassin's Creed we were going to talk about? Which one was it?
No, Assassin's Creed, no.
That's like July or something, right?
Assassin's Creed, I think it's July.
Yeah.
But this one...
Yeah.
It's funny how we're going from like committing crimes and gangs and Western stuff to the most adorable set of all time. You need to see the art that they previewed, because we're looking at spoilers of cards, but this art is lovely.
What was the name of the set?
Bloomborough,
okay.
This is the animal set, and I literally mean animal. This is a new plane, I guess, Bloomborough. I don't know how much lore they've gone into. I don't know if this is just speculation, but there are no humans on this plane, and I don't think a human can exist on this plane.
So it's like Ikoria.
No, because there are humans on Ikoria.
Okay.
And Ikoria was like beasts and behemoths and everything huge. These are basically cute.
I'm seeing animals. An otter. Yeah, I'm seeing an otter. They are adorable. I do like this.
The art. Oh, I love this so much. I have no idea.
Mabel, heir to the Crag Flame? That is...
Go ahead and read her.
Really? Okay. So it's Boros, right? 1 white, 1 red, 1 other. A 3/3 body. Other mice you control get +1/+1.
She's a mouse soldier herself.
That's right. Legendary Kreese mouse soldier. Yeah. Whenever she enters.
Yeah.
Okay. Create Crag Flame, a legendary. So it's another boo kind of thing. Colorless equipment artifact token with equipped creature gets +1/+1 and has vigilance, trample, and haste. And equipped too. Sign me up. Sign me up, bro.
It's maybe not so much boo, but maybe more of like a Nahiri sort of thing with the same colors, and she makes the equipment. But yeah, so two things. There's a lot to digest here. A, she's adorable, and she's angry,
yeah.
It looks like she wants but she wants to defend her plane or something.
I really like the art on the right one, man. Oh my,
it's so lovely, it's so adorable.
No,
there's already 3 different arts on it, because this is like the face card of the set, basically. So art direction is one thing. The other thing that you read, or actually did not read, is the missing words of the battlefield.
Yes.
When Mabel enters, do a thing. It does not say when Mabel enters the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
They are just abbreviating that, or I guess just removing it.
What about enters the command zone? Or enters...
Nothing enters the command zone. It just gets places. Put into the command zone or moves to the command zone.
Okay.
Like things don't really enter the graveyard. Ooh, you know,
do they? Go to the graveyard. Go to the graveyard.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're just shorthanding that.
Are they really? You think they are?
Yes, they confirmed this already.
Wow, that's so cute.
All prior cards are going to be errata the same way. They're just going to get rid of the battlefield.
I mean, we've only got so much play space to put words in there.
Exactly. That's probably part of the reason. Plus, it's kind of like most of us just abbreviated to ETB anyway. Well, not ETB still means enter the battlefield.
Okay. So we can start doing shorthand from now on, right? Because the bottom half of this is so many words, right? And it only takes up 1/3 of the text box. Equipped creature gets +1/+1 and has vigilance, trample, and haste, and equip 2. That's a lot of words, and that's only taking up 1/3 of the text box.
But I'm sure you've seen on some cards that have a lot of text, they kind of like shrink down the font size just a little bit to get an extra line or two on
there. I'm looking at you, Vorklex. Yeah.
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 Omnath. That's just one card. You mentioned the otter.
Yeah, he's adorable.
Oh, yeah. Bria, Riptide Rogue. 2 blue-red, legendary creature, otter rogue. Prowess. Other creatures you control have prowess. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, target creature you control can't be blocked this turn. I mean, it's very simple. So, but this is something that people are already falling in love with. And the picture is an otter that has like a little hood. It's not like a sweater, but like a hood over his head.
Like a Jace
hood. A red hood. Yeah. You said Jace. You hold on, dude. You hold on. This otter is like literally just riding a wave.
Yeah,
with like water on his hands.
Yeah.
There's a rabbit. So Burke, Byrke, Burke,
long ear of the law.
Yes, Burke, long ear of the law. That was odd to say. 6 mana, 4 green-white. So legendary creature, rabbit soldier, 4/4 vigilance. When Burke enters. Put a +1/+1 counter on each of up to 2 creatures you control, or 2 target creatures. Whenever creature you control with a +1/+1 counter on attacks, double the number of +1/+1 counters on it.
That is insane. Can you see all the other doubly seasons and everything else?
Oh, yeah.
You know? It's already in green. Wow, dude.
I think it's been confirmed. Go ahead. What are you going to say?
Well, I'm looking at these 4 mountains, and it looks like there's different seasons with the same picture.
You got it.
Well, seasonal. One. Yeah,
basic lands are seasonal.
So this is just so adorable. I'm only looking at the 4 mountains that are presenting. And usually in the past, like if you look at things like I think it was World Wake or around that era, right? They had full art lands, and then they had some that were they weren't even full art lands. They were just regular basic lands. The image was the same, but they lightened it or they darkened it. And it's like, wow. So they took the same picture. They're using the same asset, but they'll lighten it in this set or they'll darken it in this set. And I thought that was cute and adorable, but this is even way better. It's almost like draw it over again. Or they're using a computer to change it. You know what I mean?
I don't think they're... I don't want to say they're using a computer because to me it kind of feels a bit similar to AI. I mean, mm-hmm. I know artists use like tablets and whatever to actually create art instead of generate nonsense.
Okay, yeah.
But I'm sure there was like a sketch for made out to where like it's just missing some details, missing texture, and then they copied it 4 times basically, and then made 1 summer, 1 winter, 1 fall, 1 spring.
Yeah, like shadow art or something.
Yeah, something.
Gotcha. That's cute. I like it. I'm sorry I pointed that out, but it just really drew my attention away from some of these cards here.
Yeah. So this set, I believe, is going to be pretty close to a tribal or typal theme.
Mm-hmm.
Every color pair is going to focus on a creature type. I don't remember them all, but I think black-white is going to be bats. Blue red otters, green white is rabbits, red white is mouse, mice.
Apparently, green's just bears.
Well, that's not. I don't know. I don't. There's no monocolor thing. Not that I know of.
Lumera Below the Woods.
Yeah, so go ahead and read that one.
Bellow of the Woods. It is mono. It's two green, four other. Legendary creature, elemental bear. Vigilance, reach, star. So its power and toughness are equal to the number of lands you control. And when it enters, mill four cards and then return all lands from your graveyard to the battlefield tapped.
Yeah, that's just an absurdly powerful ability.
It's going to be great in standard because there's already a lot of shenanigans going on with lands. And I saw one last night on Arena that I opened up in one of the packs that you can have all abilities of all lands and all graveyards or something. Your graveyard or something. And that's standard legal.
That's probably the one from I'm assuming we're talking about the same thing. That's probably the one from Ixalan, and it doesn't do that.
No. I think it's from Markov or Karloff Manor. I'll look at it tonight, and I'll send you a little message and tell you what it is.
Okay. But
that's a little sneak peek at this set, though. I think it's good enough for this episode.
This set is going to be, like I mentioned, it's going to release in August. This is the set that's going to cause rotation to happen.
Oh, nice.
So that means finally,
Midnight Hunt, Crimson Vow, and
Streets. New Capenna, Streets of New Capenna, and Kamigawa Fantasy.
That's right. So instead of three sets leaving, there's four sets leaving.
There's always been four at a time.
I don't know. Sometimes back in the day, man, when they did blocks, it was like Lorwyn, Shadowmoor, Eventide.
Yes, fair point. Yes, true. Yeah. But more recently, it's been four at a time. But this is a set that's going to have rotation happen.
Good. I can't wait for rotation. I've been pushing standard like crazy.
Yeah, I'm. Standard is healthy right now.
I know,
but it's. It's the same cards that I think everyone's just kind of they're bored with it. They're done with it.
Yeah, I personally can't wait until the Dominaria United scene gets away. Sheldred's just too overrated. It reminds me of that oven. Just set it and forget it, you know?
Yeah.
At any rate, that's going to do it for this week's episode, guys. And is there anything you wanted to say before we let the listeners go?
No. I'm just looking forward to the spoilers of Outlaws and seeing what kind of interesting stuff. Because Outlaws has the main set itself. It has the breaking news little expansion. It has the big score little expansion. And it has special guest expansion. Plus Commander. Commander's on its own. Whatever. But it's like special guests again. The prior set, I think, only had like 10 special guest cards, maybe 8. It's still a lot in one pack. I feel like this set to draft with is going to feel the closest to Cube as we have since March of the Machine. And I think it's going to feel even closer to Cube with the amount of rares we'll be getting in each pack. Like I feel like it's almost guaranteed we're getting 2 rares a pack. Maybe not really, but I feel like it's that high.
I think we're going to talk a little bit more about that Fallout set that came out, and it's still hot right now. On the next episode.
Oh, we can do that. I'm down for that.
So prepare for that for next week, and the listeners be out to look out for that too. So if you were looking at this episode wanting our thoughts and opinions on Fallout, it looks like you're gonna have to be on a cliffhanger. Tune in until next week's episode. And until next time, keep spell slinging.